Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, back in our regular Friday slot, week 13 in the NFL. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trana, along with, as always, the Grambling Brothers. You would think after 12 weeks in the books, I would say it smoothly, but I did stutter. Gary Grambling, senior editor of MMQB. How are you?
I'm good. Most wonderful time of the year. No more bye weeks. So many games.
I know. I just know. 9 o'clock, 9 1 o'clock games, 4 4 o'clock games on Sunday. Scott Grambling, the senior editor at drfsportsforum.com. How is it going?
It is going pretty well. I have to, I'm managing editor of DRF Sports Forum, but that's good. Managing it. That's fine.
I'll never get it right.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I'm doing well. It is a good time of year, although I kind of like bye weeks, to be honest with you.
Were you guys together on Thanksgiving?
We were.
Yeah.
Did you have any wagers like going head to head on Thanksgiving?
We were all on the same wrong sides.
it was brutal.
Come on.
Thanksgiving was ruined.
It was awful.
So what do you
that pick six.
All three underdogs should have covered.
So you had the Lions, Redskins, and Falcons.
Yep.
Both of you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The turkey not going down well for the Grambling Brothers. Holy.
That's why you got to eat early in the day.
Wow. Talk about a holiday ruined. That's a rough one. Oof, I didn't know that.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
But I know I was 2-1 with my best bets. You had a good best bet.
Yeah, I was 4-2.
4-2, right. And Gary, what were you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
No, I was 1-5. The only team that came through for me was my Tampa Bay Bucks.
So Thanksgiving was bad, and then the weekend was
didn't get any better.
Didn't make it in. Wow.
Well, got ever so slightly better.
Yeah. Wow. Rough. All right. Well, I didn't mean to bring up the bad Thanksgiving for the boys, but the beautiful thing about betting is that Gary can turn it all around right now on Sunday afternoon in week 13, starting with the Atlanta Falcons at home, giving 1.5 to the Lamar Jackson-led Baltimore Ravens, total 48. Gary, since you were 1-5 last week, we'll start with
you.
Yeah,
it's good, and I do love this game. I will come back to it later in the show. I love the Falcons in this one. It's essentially the line's moving a lot. It'll be something around a pick 'em. Falcons will be giving a point or two by the time Sunday rolls around, I assume. Yeah, I mean, look, you got two Lamar Jackson games on tape for this Falcons team now. They're likely getting, I should say at this point, Deion Jones, their defensive leader, back in the lineup this week. Even without Deion Jones, Falcons are better defensively than the two defenses that Lamar Jackson faced so far, the Bengals at home and the Raiders at home. I think the Falcons are going to win this one pretty handily. I think this is a touchdown plus win for Atlanta. I really like the matchup.
Scott?
I like Atlanta here. I can't claim to like Atlanta as much as Gary does. The thing I like the most in this game is under 48. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this one. You look at Falcons games since the start of last season, the under is 11-3 in Falcons games when they're playing against teams with a winning record. If you want another trend here, Atlanta 7-2 against the spread as a home underdog since the start of 2013. They opened as an underdog here, so that trend would no longer apply as they're now a slight favorite. But I think it just goes to show they do play better at home, and under, to me, is a way to go here. I don't see Lamar Jackson. Look, they put up the 30-plus points against the Raiders a lot because of special teams and defense, less because of Lamar Jackson. Just don't see a lot of points being scored in this game.
I don't know if I'd go under only because I don't trust the Falcon defense, but I do love the Falcons in this game. I just think first road start for a rookie quarterback in the dome there, and the Falcons, like Scott said, always play better at home, and you're only laying 1.5. I don't know. I see the Falcons winning this game. I just think with a rookie quarterback there who you just need to sort of contain a little bit. Not going to beat you.
They have a fast defense too. Like it would be a big slow defense that I would be afraid of. Right. That's not what the Falcons are.
And the Falcons struggle against high powered offenses.
That's not the ball down the field.
Right. There's not a high powered offense.
No,
at all.
It's not.
Yeah. All right. Game number two on Sunday. The Broncos coming off a win at home against the Steelers, giving 5 at Cincinnati. No Andy Dalton. Total here, 45. Scott.
I just can't see a combination of Jeff Driskel under center Marvin Lewis on the sideline and Hugh Jackson on the sideline leading to anything except for a complete disaster. And that's really all I have to say about
this
game.
Not a winning trifecta.
Not a winning formula for success in the NFL.
And the Broncos playing a lot better, going under the radar a little bit. And I love that running back.
Back-to-back wins on the road against the Chargers, at home against the Steelers. And, you know, when we were talking last week, and part of the reason I had the Broncos as a best bet and picked them to win outright against the Steelers is how effective they have been in recent weeks against quality competition.
Right.
Yes, they lost at home to the Texans. Texans have won 8 in a row. Denver only lost that by 2. That was the only against the spread loss they've had since mid-October. The Broncos since mid-October are 5-1 against the spread. And yeah, they had that blowout of the Cardinals on the road on that Thursday night. Other than that, they've covered against the Rams, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Texans. Yep. I'm sorry, not the Texans. The Texans, they lost against the spread, but they played the Texans. They've played quality competition. This is not quality competition. They've got to win this game by a touchdown, at least.
Yeah, the Bengals may get A.J. Green back, but if Jeff Driscoll is throwing the ball, I'm not sure it matters. Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the Broncos on the road normally. You just, like Scott said, you can't bet on this Bengals team. It's the very stoppable force versus the exceedingly movable object. And I'll go with the Broncos in this one just because they're playing better football of late, even though I never like them on the road.
Yeah. I will say on the road, though, last three games on the road, they blew out Arizona. They won that game by 35 points. At Kansas City, lost by 3. Right. They were getting 9 in that one, and then they beat the Chargers outright as a 7-point dog. I hear what you're saying historically, but I'm starting to change my tune a little bit. They are playing better. I think they had a good draft, and they're having rookies that are contributing, and it's starting to pay off at this point in the season for the Broncos.
Yeah, I like the Broncos a lot here. I think the Bengals are a dead team. I really do. And if Jeff Driscoll's the quarterback, the dead team is in the coffin, and the door is shut. Lid. What's on top of a coffin?
The lid.
Door,
yeah,
lid.
Yeah.
The lid has been shut and nailed.
Get a custom-made coffin with a door on it.
All right, we go now to Detroit. The Lions, 10-point underdogs at home this week with the offensively dominating Rams coming to town. Total here, 55. Rams minus 10 at the Lions. Gary.
I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I love the Lions. I don't know if you discussed that on this show at all.
You had a terrible Thanksgiving.
They ruined my Thanksgiving.
I didn't want to bring that up and make. I'm trying to be nice, and you did it to yourself. So now you can take the abuse.
I'll just say this. I mean, look, Rams are obviously a much better team. Lions have made some personnel mistakes here. Look, they're 8-3 against the spread at home when they're underdogs of 5 or more points since Matthew Stafford got there back in 2009. They've also. They've beaten Tom Brady straight up. They beat Aaron Rodgers straight up. They beat Cam Newton straight up at home. I'm not saying they're going to win this game straight up, but I think they hang around in this game. I think this is a one-possession game.
So you like the 10?
I do like the Lions. I will make fun of the Lions, but I like the Lions.
All right.
Tough game to call. I think this number is probably about right. I wouldn't play the game. If I had to play it, I would probably lay the points. Detroit just seems to, at this point in seasons, start to unravel a little bit. Detroit is 9-21 against the spread in December games since the start of 2011. It's just a team that at this point in the year seems to start to pack it up. But not to the extent where I would lay double digits on the road with a Rams team that has not been dominant. They're actually only 4-5-2 against the spread. The number seems about right. I don't think there's value on either side.
Yeah, I'm echo everything Scott said. I don't love the game. Obviously, I think the Rams win, but the Rams have not been covering games at all lately. They are coming off a very, very long rest period with the bye week, but 10 is high, and the Lions are just one of these weird teams that this is where they'll give you a good effort out of nowhere and then cover. Detroit is one of Gary's teams. We now go to his other team coming off a lovely game in San Diego. The Arizona Cardinals now go into Green Bay. Packers are giving 14, 2 touchdowns to the pathetic Cardinals. Total 44.5. Scott, does the number scare you, 14?
Yeah, with a team that is as below average as the Packers are. I mean, this is a 4-6-1 team, both straight up and against the spread. The Cardinals have faced a pretty difficult schedule. This is only the second road game for Arizona this season against an opponent with a losing record. First game they won by double digits. Yes, it was against the 49ers, but they won by double digits on the road as an underdog. Arizona 8-1 against the spread when coming off back-to-back losses since the start of last season. I wouldn't play the game. If I had to make a pick, I would take the Cardinals because I think it's way too many points for a Green Bay team that is just mediocre. And to me, I don't think you can take the Packers and lay 14 in this game.
Gary, big effort by your Cardinals last week. How do you see it going down this week?
this is a wonderful week, Jimmy. I get to pick my Lions and my Cardinals. Yeah, I like the Cardinals to cover in this one. I don't know what's going on with the defense. I don't know why they were that bad last week. It's not an untalented defense, and for any of you who read the MMQB's content this week, and that's words on the internet. We did a lot of pieces on the Packers and how disjointed they are offensively, and it's for real. They are.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's gonna get right this year. I think it's gonna be a while before they are what they were 3 or 4 years ago. They got to get those rookie receivers up to speed. It's just not going to happen overnight. So I like the Cardinals to hang around.
You do have to give the Cardinals credit. They did force Phillip Rivers into an incomplete pass.
It did.
Yes.
The Cardinals defense has been one of the, I thought they, maybe they haven't been that bad, but that was rough last week. It's amazing the Packers. I know they have Aaron Rodgers, but they just don't seem to want to go Aaron Jones at all as the focal point there, and it's very interesting what's going on in Green Bay with that offense. I will not touch this game at all. 14 is high. I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona covered. I wouldn't be shocked if they got blown out. I don't know where you would begin to go with this game. Not anything I'd go near. This game I do like, though, coming up. It is the Texans -6 at home against the rejuvenated Hugh Jacksonless Cleveland Browns. Total 47. Gary.
I think we're all going to say something similar on this game. I think we all might love the Browns. I won't take up too much time. I will point out, I like the Texans more than most, I think, because I don't buy into the just incredible inefficiency they've had in the red zone. I think that is fluky. I think that will regress to the mean at some point. But I don't think the Texans are that much more talented than the Browns. For the Browns to be getting 6 points the way they've been playing of late, I mean, that offense is for real. They're going to score points in this game. I like
Cleveland. A lot of people see 8-game winning streak, and then all of a sudden the line comes out and it's 6.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, I like the Browns here. I really do. I just feel like, and get this, right? A Cleveland win would give the Browns as many victories in their past 3 games as they had in 40 games under Hugh Jackson. It is a lot of points. That was a strange Monday night game, that Texans-Titans game. I know Texans won it comfortably, but it turned on back-to-back plays. It turned on the fourth down, hand it to a tight end that's never carried the ball before, and then a 97-yard touchdown. And you know what? You deserve to give up a 97-yard touchdown when you run that play call at that point. I'm not saying it was horrendous to go for it at that point, but that was a horrendous play call. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Browns win this game outright. Texans coming off the short week. In watching the Texans, there's nothing about them that says dominant. And give them credit, they've won all these consecutive games. The only ones they've really won handily are that game on Monday night and then games against the Jaguars and the Dolphins. I mean, they've played, one-score games against in this 8-game winning streak against the Colts, the Cowboys, the Bills, the aforementioned Broncos, the Redskins, who have been banged up. I like getting the points here, and I might even dabble a little bit on the money line.
I like the Browns, too, so if you're out there, bet the Texans. All three of us like the Browns, so you know what that means. God only knows when the last time the Browns won back-to-back road games, okay? They won in Cincinnati last week. Now they go to Houston. I've said this before. The Browns are knocking down all the firsts this year. First win in so many games, first home win. They had a struggle, get the tie for first road win. Back-to-back road wins would be quite an accomplishment. So I'm not expecting a win, but I love getting the 6 points. Everything you read, all the experts, MMQB has covered it. Baker Mayfield without Hugh Jackson is on another level right now. And while this defense of Houston has a lot of, you know, J.J. Watt's playing out of his mind, Clowney and everyone, I just, to me, I'm with Scott. The Texans have not, they've won 8 games. I've never been impressed with the Texans. I don't know. I love getting the 6 here. I really do with the Browns. I think their role, I think Hugh Jackson not being there has them in a great, great place right now.
The Hugh effect is it's remarkable.
Greg Williams wants that job. You know, there's a lot going on there. Nick Chubb, great. I like the Browns. We go now to Jacksonville, which has put Bortles on the bench, which, well, listen, if you think this guy's better than Bortles, I don't get it. To me, it's a stupid move, but that's a whole other issue. But the Colts come into town. The Colts are favored by 4 at Jacksonville, total 47. Scott, are you going to invest in Cody Kessler?
No, I am not. I like the Colts here. I'm not sure I like him enough to make him a best bet, just giving the points on the with the uncertainty, right? New offensive coordinator, new quarterback. But with no Leonard Fournette, I just don't see an angle here to take the Jaguars. The Colts can be thrown on, but the Jaguars can't throw. And that's really in this number of Jacksonville being 1-8-1 against the spread since the start of last season when facing teams that allow a completion percentage of at least 64%. They're just not going to be able to take advantage of what the Colts' weakness is. And again, I think with all that uncertainty, if I had to take the game, I would take the Colts. I would say it's more than a slight lean. It's a heavy lean in the direction of the Colts for me.
Gary?
Yeah, I agree. No Leonard Fournette as well for the Jaguars in this one. And he was running well last week before he decided to punch someone in the helmet.
At least that was a legitimate punch. I mean, that was no joke.
But you can't do anything with it. Well, it was a good looking punch.
Right, it was good looking.
You know, it's
a lot of these brawls look, you know, just a little slappy.
It did look beautiful. Yes, I'll give him credit for that. The Cody Kessler thing makes no sense.
No.
The entire situation makes no sense. We talked about this on the Deep Dive show yesterday. They bench their quarterback, but they promote their quarterback's coach. So I don't know how that works.
Right.
You were doing such a great job with the guy.
A lot
we were
of times
starting.
Teams get motivated behind a backup. I don't think this is that situation. I think the players they like Bortles, and I mean they're not going to get excited for Cody
Kessler.
They do.
I mean, look, and you saw it around this time last year. Bortles can give you weeks where he's a B plus A minus quarterback, not a lot, and he also has weeks where he's an F quarterback. Cody Kessler is a D plus quarterback 1 week. He's a D plus quarterback the next week. He's not physically talented enough. Perhaps he morphed into Drew Brees in the last couple weeks since we've seen him, but I don't think that's likely.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Colts. I would never put money on Cody Kessler. That's just, especially with the Jaguars, and just, I don't know, that offense is, you can't try. The under 47 could be a nice play there. I don't see the Jaguars putting up many points. We go to Miami. The Dolphins will give 4 points to the Bills. Total 40. Josh Allen back with Buffalo, played last week. Miami -4 at home against the Bills, total 40. Gary.
I love Adam Gase, except for last week.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I was cautiously optimistic that once Tannehill got back, Gase could run his offense. And he did some good things last week. I think that situation when they were 3rd and 10 deep in their own territory, late in the game, that tells you all you need to know about Gase's amount of trust in Tannehill at this point. I don't think they can score enough points to win a game by a touchdown. I think they could, you know, this could be a last-second field goal type of game. But, yeah, they're way too conservative on offense. No Albert Wilson, no Jakeem Grant, no big plays for them. So, I mean, it's a pick 'em game to me.
Scott?
Yeah, I really don't have much on this game. I would take the Bills and the points. I'll give you some trends. Bills 7-3, both straight up and against the spread, past 10 games against the Dolphins since the start of 2013. Somebody, and this is way too simplifying it, but I thought this, you know, if you just don't want to dig into the numbers too much, somebody's like, Bills, Nathan Peterman bet against them. Bills without Nathan Peterman, you can consider betting on them. And, you know, the Peterman games this year, the Bills' average point differential was -38.5. In the non-Peterman games, their point differential is -3.8. So they're right there at mediocre. The Dolphins haven't beaten the Bills. Only once have the Dolphins beaten the Bills by more than 3 points in the last 10 meetings since the start of 2013. For all those reasons, I like the points in this one.
I love the Bills, actually. I just think their defense is good enough to keep this close. Josh Allen was all fired up last week to be back, and I think the Dolphins coming off, that was a demoralizing loss for the Dolphins last week at Indy. I think there's going to be a little layover effect there, and I think the Bills plus four here, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game, but I love them plus four. The Bears will once again have Chase Daniel at quarterback instead of Mitchell Trubisky, but they're still four-point favorites on the road at New York against the Giants, total 44.5. Scott.
I like the Bears in this one. I just don't believe in the Giants. I think that they started to build some faux momentum with back-to-back wins on the road at San Francisco, who might be the worst team in the league right now. And that is saying a lot when you also have the Raiders in the league. And I think right now, I think the two worst teams in the league are probably the Bengals and the 49ers, given their situations. I don't think there's a lot to like about this Giants team, and I think I'm going to turn it over to Gary at this point because I think he has a similar point that I'm probably going to make versus what I think is the biggest mismatch between these teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's this Bears pass rush against this Giants offensive
Correct.
Line.
Right.
I mean, that's you beat the Bucs, you beat the 49ers. Those teams are not only bad teams, but they're teams that lack any sort of pass rush. So this is a terrible matchup for the Giants. And look, Chase Daniel, you guys know what I think about Trubisky. I don't think Chase Daniel is that much of a downgrade. And I think, you know, Bears score 23 points and you know, Giants end up scoring 13 or something.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants' hope for pulling off some miracle run, which was ridiculous to begin with, that came to a halt last week. Bears rolling, and I don't know, you know, Bears -4. The 40, over 44.5 I like in this one. I see some picks. I see some turnovers leading to points here, whether it's Chase Daniel or whether it's, you know, Khalil Mack getting about 3 or 4 sack fumbles. I can see points being scored in this game. That would be my play here if I had to go with it.
Can I interject here for a second? Just going back to about what we were talking about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I've been digging through Browns game logs, and it appears as if the last time the Browns won back-to-back games on the road was in November 2002.
Wow.
Against the Bengals and against the Saints.
16 years ago, yeah.
They were a 3-point favorite at Cincinnati and a 6-point underdog at New Orleans. I wouldn't take that to the bank, but I'm 90% sure that that's
Sounds
the
accurate.
Answer.
That yeah.
That's the answer.
Sounds accurate.
A lot of when you go back through Browns game logs,
yeah.
An awful lot of L's. 15 years of the overwhelming majority yeah. of L's. Not a lot of W's back to back. Anyway, sorry to
No. That sounds about right. 2002. Yeah. Interesting game here. The Panthers struggling go into Tampa Bay. Panthers giving 3.5. Total here, 54.5. Gary, can you read this one?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. I know, Scott, you never like the Panthers on the road, and I buy into that enough to make me just want to back off this game entirely. I think the Panthers just haven't caught a break the last couple weeks. Again, I throw out the Thursday nighter in Pittsburgh. Thursday night football is a farce. No one should support it or watch it or bet on it. Well, you can bet on it if you want. That game and the game against Seattle last week. I mean,
don't support or watch, but you can bet.
Yes,
love that.
Exactly.
That's the essence of this
show.
Just
look at the box score the next morning.
Yeah,
That's it. You know, last week against Seattle, they get stopped on a fourth down deep in Seattle territory. That they throw a red zone pick. I mean, that Lions game was a missed kick and a missed 2-point conversion away from a victory there. I don't know. The luck evens out. I do think they win this game and cover against a bad Tampa team. And I have to think they're bad on the back end right now, the Panthers. They're playing a lot of rookies. They're playing a lot of guys who can't cover anyone in the NFL. I just think I think they figure it out. I think between Ron Rivera and Eric Washington, you figure out some way to work around that.
Bad sign when you can't close out games. That seems to be Carolina's biggest problem, Scott.
Yeah, slight lean to the Panthers here. 5-0 against the spread in Tampa since the start of 2013. I still think they're a good team. You're right, they can't close out games. It's a bad sign. But I think the Buccaneers team is awful. And that win against the 49ers just doesn't it doesn't impress me. I would take the Panthers here, but I don't like laying more than a field goal on the road.
Yeah, I would have to go Panthers in this one as well. But I'm worried about them. The not being able to finish these games out, and I think not having that dominating receiver hurts them. They're using Christian McCaffrey too much. He's going to wear him out. But Tampa's so bad, I could never bet them. All right. Those are the 1 o'clock games. We'll now go to the 4 o'clock slate. 4 games for you. The first one, the Chiefs, minus 15. 15 at Oakland. Total 55.5. I'll go first. Bet the Chiefs and lay the points. Scott.
I can't find a way here to take the Raiders. And the Raiders were a double-digit home underdog against the Chargers, and that game was really not competitive. I think it ended 20-6. I had best bet the under in that game. I like the Chiefs here. They have dominated within the division, 12-3 against the spread when facing AFC West opponents since the start of 2016. The pre-Patrick Mahomes Chiefs scored an average of more than 33 points per game over the last 5 trips to Oakland. So I don't know what kind of formula you got to put that in. I guess the post-Patrick Mahomes Chiefs would score about 87
right,
based on that that logic.
That's about right. That's what I expect Sunday. Coming off a bye, I'm expecting about 70 to 80.
Are they might already be up 21-0 in that game. I'm not quite sure. It doesn't kick off for another couple
of
days.
I'll say this right now in all seriousness. I'd be stunned if they don't put up 50.
Stunned.
That's how this offense, coming off a bye, coming off a loss, playing
Jimmy 50 points.
When,
is a
when
lot
it's,
of points.
I mean, the problem is it's going to be like 45-6. So it's going to be 45-6 going into the fourth quarter, and then
Derek Carr throws a pick 6 to close it out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're also
that's
getting Eric Berry back. I think no, he's back at practice. He's not playing right this week. You would know that better than me.
If it's 45-6, you need that pick 6 to go over the total. So
listen, if it's 45-6, you cover. That's all that matters.
No, I hear you. It doesn't. There's just no angle here to take the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's funny. I mean, we talked about who's the worst team in the NFL. Raiders are in the running, even though they have their quarterback. Those other teams lost their quarterback, and that makes a big deal. And whatever you think of Derek Carr, he's still a starting NFL quarterback. The Raiders are so are so untalented. You know, in the NFL, typically anyone can beat anyone. There's not a huge gap in talent between teams. There is here, though. I mean, this feels like, you know, when Alabama has that week where they played it was the Citadel this year, or they play South Alabama or something
or
like
Tennessee.
That. Yeah. Anyone from the SEC East.
Yeah.
It's just such an enormous talent mismatch here.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm doing my Jimmy Trana impression this week.
All right. The Titans are giving 8 points to the visiting Jets. The line seems ridiculous to me. Total 40.5, Gary.
Yeah, I mean it's tough to feel great about the Jets, but that's a big number.
That's
for
an
the
insult.
Tennessee
that
Titans
line is
on a,
like that's a disrespectful line. As far as
Titans on a short week.
Yeah.
I like the Jets with McCown under center better than Darnold. We'll see what happens this week, but yeah, I mean that number's too big.
I'm sorry, the Titans shouldn't be giving 8 to anyone.
Yeah,
Scott.
The Titans should not be giving 8 to anybody. If they are giving it to somebody, and it's not one of the aforementioned teams, the Jets are in the running for worst team as well. You know, this is a team that has gone on the road and just been absolutely awful, this Jets team. I mean, they lost to the Jaguars 31-12 earlier this season on the road. Like, the Jaguars aren't beating anybody, and they're certainly not beating anybody like that. Jets have lost and failed to cover 5 in a row now.
Right. The Jets have been brutal.
They are absolutely brutal. I wouldn't play the game. I cannot condone taking the Jets here. If I had to play the game, I'd have to take more than a touchdown here. But if this game, if you told me this game's going to be 31-13, I'd be like, yeah, of course. Like, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
I think the listen, Scott said it. The Jets haven't covered their last five games. They've been terrible. But the Titans should not be giving 8 points to anyone. I just, you know, it's a weird matchup. The Titans are, they just, every game there of theirs is just weird.
But and that's what makes this game so hard to call. And I know we're saying they shouldn't be giving that to anybody, but it has been this month when they won by two touchdowns in Dallas.
Right.
And they won by 24 at home against the Patriots. Right. And I'm not saying that's a reason to take them here, but I do think it's a reason why this line is set at more than a touchdown.
Right. I would take the 8. I would not bet it, but if you had to, I would take the 8. All right, I think this is the game of the day for the afternoon slate. It is the Patriots at home giving 5.5 to the Vikings, total 49.5. Scott?
I like the Patriots in this spot. You look at Minnesota. Minnesota has yet to beat an opponent this season that currently has a winning record. They, when they've gone up against the elite teams, and the Patriots are still elite, they just haven't gotten the job done. They've given up a lot of points. They gave a lot of points to the Rams, gave up a lot of points to the Saints. I know a lot of teams are giving up a lot of points to them, but to me, the Patriots and what they have done at home, they have a 10-game winning streak at home, regular season, I believe that is, and it's a team that you know, I think can take advantage of some of the weaknesses. Xavier Rhodes, the status is uncertain, but the way he went down at the end of the Sunday night game, I find it hard to believe.
Not only the way he went down, but how loud Mike Zimmer is yelling about how he's actually healthy, even though he's not practicing. I mean, Zimmer's doing like the worst smoke screen of all time.
See, that's what I think as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'd be a bit surprised if he's out there. And if he's not out there, I think that's a huge advantage for the Patriots this one. I mean, this is, you know, in the past 18 times where the Patriots have been favored by at least 5 points, they're 14-4 against the spread. It's just, you know, Kirk Cousins, look at him. He's won 12 of 35 road starts in his NFL career. There's just not a lot here to really point to the Vikings. And the Vikings just have not produced against some of the better teams in the NFL. I would lay anything less than a touchdown here with the Patriots.
Gary?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta check the injury report if you're going to bet this one. Rhodes, Stephon Diggs is also banged up right now with a knee injury. Those two guys are difference makers in this game. Rhodes especially, because if you have Rhodes out there, you put him on Josh Gordon, and then you sort of deal with a, you know, 80% of Rob Gronkowski and 90% of Julian Edelman, whatever they're playing at this point. And in that case, so if Rhodes plays, I'd probably lean Vikings. I don't think he's gonna. So, lean Patriots.
I've gone back and forth on this, but I like the Patriots, I think. The more I think about it, Minnesota on the – here's the thing. If the line was 3, you'd bet the Patriots, no issue there. If I was 4, you might even bet the Patriots. I think the 5.5 is what scares you off there, but it's bringing me back. I just think, Belichick will come up with a way to slow down the two receivers there, Diggs and Thielen, obviously. Minnesota on the road in New England. You know what? If it's 3, you wouldn't even think about it. So 5.5. Listen, can they win it by an extra field goal, a touchdown? This is the Patriots. It's not, you know. So I would go Patriots here.
And then let me just add to what I was talking about, their dominance at home. 10 straight regular season home games that they've won straight up, if you want to throw in the two playoff games, you know, Titans, Jaguars as well. But in that 10-game winning streak at home, they've covered the spread in all but one of those games. The only one they didn't cover was
the Chiefs,
3-point
this year,
win,
right?
As a 3.5-point favorite. So they failed to cover by a half point against a team covering against everybody.
Offense. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, 7 of those 10 games, the Patriots have won by at least 2 touchdowns.
Right.
So this is a team that I just think they've been so dominant at home, and they tend to play their best football in the month of December. I think it'd be foolish to bet against them in this spot.
And there is home field, you know, the AFC, they're all jockeying for home field there. The bye week, the first week of the playoffs, I think the Patriots, that's a motivational thing for them. Last 4 o'clock game, Seahawks at home, giving 10 to the 49ers, total 46. I'll just say I love the Seahawks. The Nick Mullins era has crashed and burned big time, Gary.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this one, and I'll throw out two things. A lot of knowledge for the 49ers of the Seahawks here. Robert Saleh used to be on that staff in Seattle. It's a lot of crossover with the defensive staffs here. Kyle Shanahan has some really good games. His offense have really good games against these Seahawks style defenses. These sort of cover three zone type of defenses here. So he schemes something up. But again, it's Nick Mullins. I've been off the Nick Mullins bandwagon for 3 weeks here. Yeah, Seahawks. You also figure they're winning the games by going heavy on the ground game and sort of playing off of that. Are they going to run up a big score? I don't know. I'd back off of it. I guess, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do with this one. I wouldn't bet it, though.
I think Scott's going to say take the Seahawks big time.
I do like the Seahawks. The Seahawks 12-2 in their last 14 against the 49ers against the spread. It's a lot of points. I like the Seahawks. What I like most about this game is under 46 because I don't see the Seahawks scoring. What are they going to score? 10 or 13 points at most?
The Niners.
Yeah. Correct. But I'm not sure that the Seahawks are going to roll up huge numbers in this one. It feels like a 28-13 type of game to me, 27-14, something in that area. So the play I like most in this game is under 46.
I said I like the Seahawks already, so we don't have to talk about it anymore. All right, the Sunday night game, Steelers giving 3.5 points at home. Chargers come in without Melvin Gordon. Total 51.5. Scott.
I can't express enough how much I love the Steelers in this game. I absolutely love the Steelers. Just like last season, the story of the Chargers this season is beat most of the teams that they should be beating, although that wasn't the case with them, with the Broncos, and lose to the teams that they should lose to. The only two games that they've played this season against teams that would be in the playoffs if the regular season were to end today, the Chargers lost both of those by double digits. All but one of the Chargers' six against the spread victories this season have come against teams that are on pace to end 2018 with six or fewer victories. I just don't see a scenario here where the Steelers don't bounce back from that loss in Denver. You look at what they've done after, what I'll deem sloppy games. Under Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh 7-3 against the spread when coming off a game with a turnover margin of worse than -3. This is the third time, actually since the start of October, that the Steelers have been favored at home by this same margin of 3.5. And they won the previous two games by 24 and 31 points, respectively, over Atlanta and Carolina. So it's not like, the Raiders or the Jets or the 49ers. Final margin, this one won't be nearly as lopsided as 24 and 31 points, but I would be surprised if the Steelers don't win by at least twice the amount of this spread.
Gary?
Yeah, I also love the Steelers. And if you're nervous about what Pittsburgh did last week, and I can say I'm bitter about them not winning and covering in Denver, they took it inside Denver's 30-yard line four times and came away with 0 points. Or I should say they had four trips that resulted in 0 points inside Denver's 30-yard line, including that Xavier Grimble fumble as you're crossing the goal line type of thing, which was one of the most bizarre fumbles I've ever seen because it's in open space. And
right.
Did you not see the guy coming at you? did that take you by surprise there? But yeah, I love the Steelers in this one. And I always point to they're so much better offensively at home than they are on the road. I just had the number up and I closed it down. But it, off the top of my head, I believe it's 30.5 points per game at home since 2014 and some like 21.8 on the road. So I like the over in this one, too. I think it's a high-scoring game, but I think the Steelers run away with this one.
We have another trifecta. Love the Steelers. This would be if I had to give one best bet, this would be it. Love them coming home off that rough loss where it was a fluky loss. I mean, Roethlisberger throwing that pick in the end zone there from the one-yard line, the James Conner fumble, no Melvin Gordon for the Chargers who come cross-country. Steelers fighting for that first round bye, home field, and how at home they're only given 3.5. I love the Steelers.
This is a wampum game. All the wampum you have, lay it on the Steelers in this one.
All right, it wraps up Monday night with two teams I don't think I've predicted right the entire season. The Eagles giving 6 points at home to the Redskins, who should have covered on Thanksgiving. And yes, I'm still bitter about that. Total 45. Garrett.
Now you got the Eagles getting hammered by the Saints a couple weeks ago. You got that one, Jimmy.
Eagles, yes. Yeah. That one was right.
I like the Eagles in this only because I think the matchup is right for them. You know, if you don't have cornerbacks, it's good to see this Washington team. So I think Philly, they'll still score points. Carson Wentz is good enough to carry this offense. I do think they end up winning this one by 7 to 10 points, though. You know, I'm not going to best bet it. It's a division game. Maybe Washington hangs around, but I do like the Eagles winning this handily.
Scott.
Tough game to call. If I had to play it, I would take the Redskins and the points. Only one time all year have the Eagles won a game by more than 6 points. I don't think you can lay this many points with this Eagles team.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this game. If anything, I'd maybe play an over. I'm not impressed really by either team's defense. I don't know. Maybe the Eagles score a ton of points here at home and trying to save this. I don't know. I don't have a feel for these teams. I don't love the game.
So all that money we're going to win on the Steelers on Sunday night, we're not going to be able to lose it for another 5 days.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll burn the hole in my pocket first before I bet it on Washington, Philly. All right. So that is the Week 13 slate. Let's now turn to the Best Bets of the Week segment. All right, here we go. Best bets for week 13. Scott Grambling, how many you got for us?
Oh, boy, I've got a six-pack. I have a six-pack. I'll just start off with the Steelers because it's fresh in our minds. Steelers laying 3.5 against the Chargers. It's too bad I can't triple bet that. Like, I feel so strongly about that game. I don't think I've felt as strongly. I have not felt as strongly about a game since the season opener, Chiefs against these same Chargers. These Chargers do not rise to the level of their competition. So I'm going with the Steelers there. I'm going with under 49 in the under 48 in the – I can't read my own
Ravens,
handwriting.
Falcons, I'll read
in the Ravens-Falcons game. I am actually going to – I'm going to go under 46 in the San Francisco-Seattle game. I am taking the Cleveland Browns – getting the 6 points.
At Houston.
And, you know, I've been waffling on this one, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go under in the Indianapolis-Jacksonville game.
47.
Yeah, I'm surprised that hasn't come down.
You know, the Jaguars
more.
Scored more than 10 points this week. I don't see it. Cody Kessler, no Leonard Fournette.
I kind of don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it.
So 47 is high. Yeah.
Yeah, I do like the under in that one.
All right.
And then my last one is I'm going with Buffalo. I like Buffalo getting the points at Miami. And that one, I sort of snuck it in there at the end. I was going back and forth. But the six-pack has been good to me. I was 4-2 last week. I figured I'd round it out. Nobody wants a five-pack. So that's what I'm doing. I give out enough five packs to my friends for the holidays when I sneak one myself. Right. So those are my six.
All right, Gary.
All right, I got six here. A couple of repeats. Steelers -3.5. Browns +6. Going with the Chiefs. Going the Jimmy Train of Chiefs minus what we have at 15.
82. Yes, 15. Oh yeah, 15.
-15 and Falcons -1.5 to win that one by a touchdown at home against Baltimore, and then two totals going under in Colts Jaguars under 47 and over 52 in the Sunday night or the Chargers Steelers game.
51.5.
51.5.
Look at that.
Even better.
Yeah, even better for you. I think this is the first time in the 13 weeks this has happened. I've got six as well, but I'm taking the Steelers, so all three of us are on that. And I'm taking the Browns, all three of us are on that. So two games all three of us have picked. I don't think that's happened the whole year.
No, week one, I think we might have all been on the Giants getting points against the Jaguars.
There's two games we're all on here. Steelers
Browns. You're right.
And then my other four, Denver -5 against the Jeff Driscoll-led Bengals. That won't be difficult at all. Bills plus 4 against the Dolphins. Chiefs minus the 15 at the Raiders. And last one, Seahawks minus 10 against a dead 49ers team. So that wraps up week 13 here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. For Scott and Gary, we will see you next week.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.